Hello, everyone. Welcome to Sex Gets Real with Dawn Sarah. I am so heartbroken because it's Thursday and I was sitting down to edit an episode that I recorded with this super amazing conscious relationship coach who specializes in jealousy and non-monogamy named Victoria Rosa. She's from London. She has this super amazing accent and we like talked about tantra and jealousy and all kinds of awesome stuff in the interview that we did. And the file was corrupted. So Victoria and I are re-recording in a couple of days, but not in time for this week's episode. So you are getting me and that's gonna have to just be awesome because that's what we have this week. I have a backlog of easily close to 100 emails from all of you. And so we're gonna tackle some of the ones that have been sitting around for the past, I don't know, 5-6 months that I've just never had a chance to get to. Some of them are really wonderful and I think it's gonna be a really fun episode. The other thing that I just want to say really quickly is I have new spots open with my one-on-one, two-on-one coaching. So if you are either in a relationship and you're struggling with desire or shame, or you just want sex to be better, or you're feeling really disconnected from your partner and you really want to work through that and just get more tools in your toolbox and kind of unpack all that stuff, you can go to dawnsarah.com and see my coaching packages, because I know there are some amazing folks listening to this podcast who would make phenomenal clients. And I primarily work with women, queer folks, and couples. So if that sounds like something you'd love to do, then please go check it out because I've got a couple of spots open and I would love to fill it with someone who wants to work on super wonderful sex and relationship stuff. Let's jump into the first question. This one is called Lost One, and the subject says, "Sorry for this. Hi, I just want to apologize. I've got no one else to talk to about this, so here we go. You all talk a lot about body image, and I'm male, straight. I work in carpentry and construction, so yeah, super macho. I shouldn't have any body issues, right? I do, and it sucks. And I've got no friends that I can talk to about this, so please don't laugh. I hear a lot about ladies who have issues with breast size or weight, and as a straight guy, I really don't care. But one thing that us guys kind of base our image on is super fucked up when it comes to me. I was born with a defect in my Johnson. They had to perform an operation on me as an infant to use my foreskin to make a urethra. And as a result, they had to move my pee hole from the tip to the underside of the head of my penis. I'm average size, but the head itself is small. I didn't know I wasn't normal until after my divorce, and the news was not broken to me gently. My ex-wife never made an issue of it, but lately my last three lovers were very much like, "What the fuck is this shit? Holy shit, this is weird." Or, "Dude, your dick is fucked up." So now, in addition to the identity loss of going from a husband, dad, carpenter to just a carpenter, I also have a broken dick. Do you have any good links on how to accept this or move past it? Any advice? Because it's kind of hell. I'm lacking in confidence, so I don't even attempt to meet people anymore. And please keep my information confidential. I listen to the podcast over the radio at work, so thank you for help with any resources. By the way, just white knuckling to get over it isn't working. So it sounds like this person who was very brave in writing into the podcast a couple of months ago is struggling with body image because of some changes that they made to his penis. So the urethral opening, instead of being on the tip of his penis, is now on the underside of the head because of a surgery that was performed. And I mean, I totally get how just super devastating it would be to have people say that about your genitals, especially because we live in a world where masculinity and the value of a man tends to be determined by his penis, which is, you know, something that we've talked about so many times on this podcast and how much we think that's completely ridiculous and how it actually is completely ridiculous based on experience. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, out in the world, not everyone is sex positive. Not everyone is really accepting of differences or open to, you know, different types of bodies. And so some people are going to react to things that don't look the way they think they should look, you know, whether that's having uneven boobs or scars somewhere, or in this listener's case, urethral opening that's in a place that's a little bit different than it would be on many other bodies. So the first thing that I want to offer is this isn't specific to having this type of concern, but when it comes to just penises in general, there's two really amazing documentaries. You can see it for free on Vimeo, and it's about a guy who has a small penis, and he wanted to make a documentary all about penises and penis size and his relationship with his penis and the shame that he carries and how it kind of made him hide from the world. And he goes on this journey to learn about penises and explore other penises and his own and his relationship with it. And it's actually really touching. And I think it would be a fantastic place to start for anyone who either has a penis or knows someone who has a penis that maybe doesn't feel great about the penis that they have. So the first documentary is called My Penis and Everyone Else's. And then there's a follow-up to it called My Penis and I. And I'll have links to it in the show notes for this episode on sexgetsreal.com. The filmmaker is Lawrence Barraclough, and it's Barraclough. I think he's Irish or British, but he's definitely from overseas. And they're little 50-minute documentaries that are all about kind of accepting the penis that you have, even if it's not the kind of penis that you think everybody else wants. So I think that might be a really great place to start. There's a couple of other documentaries that you can find that are about people who are navigating the world with smaller penises or penises that they're not happy with. But I think that that could be just a way to kind of see other people engaging in this conversation of having shame specifically around their penis and how they either overcome it or engage with that shame. I think it's really important. The other thing that I want to say is I know that just white knuckling it to get over it isn't working because that just takes a really thick skin. But something that I'll offer that might just be a reframe is you have this really unique thing about your penis that probably very few other people have. And you can either frame it as something that's broken and wrong with you, or you can frame it as, like, I'm really fucking special. There's a lot of penises out there that look a specific way, and my penis doesn't look that way, and that makes me kind of one of a kind. Like, you are so lucky that you get to see a penis that looks like this. And I think that if you go into situations with people and sexual encounters, kind of embodying that of, hey, my penis is different and it totally rocks and I like it and I know what to do with it and I think you're really going to enjoy this with me, then I think that helps to get ahead of someone just reacting from a place of shock or fear. Oftentimes when we are in an intimate situation where we're already probably feeling a little bit self-conscious and something unexpected happens, the first thing that we do is try to protect ourselves. And that can often mean rejecting the person that we're with. If a partner sees something on your body that they weren't expecting to see, that can be something that just causes them to be like, oh, not normal, don't know what to do with it, so I'm just going to reject it because it's too scary to actually engage in a real conversation and ask questions. Because most of us don't know how to have those kinds of vulnerable conversations. So I think if there's a way for you to, one, maybe watch these documentaries about this one person's journey to accepting their penis. And there's another documentary that I'm thinking of, and I can't remember the name of it right now, but I'll do some research and make sure that it's on the Sex Gets Real website for this episode. But I think just start there. Start with engaging in the conversation a little bit more and seeking out documentaries and articles about this kind of thing to help remove a little bit of that shame. You know, it's kind of the same thing with like fat bodies and body positivity, in that the more you surround yourself with people who have bodies that look like yours or who understand kind of what it's like to go through the world with a body that's outside of what's considered, you know, normal, sexy, it starts to give you permission to start seeing yourself in a different way. So to Lost One, I would encourage you to just really sit with how can you frame this and invite conversation so that it doesn't place all the burden on the other person. And I know that that sucks. Like, I know that it sucks that, you know, you have to be the one that kind of initiates the conversation. But if you're about to get intimate with someone and you just make it really clear, like, so we're about to do something really sexy and I have this super awesome, unique penis that I totally dig. And if you want to ask me questions about it, go ahead. But I just want to kind of put it out there so that you're not surprised and we can have fun. And it doesn't feel like something that's scary when you put it that way. And it invites that dialogue and that curiosity, which is what you want, rather than I'm just not going to say anything. I'm going to let the shame fill up the room. I'm going to try and hide myself. All of those things make the other person feel like there's something wrong and feel defensive and feel closed off. So what can you do that says, this is an open space. I'm willing to talk about this. It's super okay. And if you don't want to talk about it, it's okay too. But this is my body and I'm owning it. So instead of white knuckling it, actually just reframing. So I hope that's really helpful. If any of our listeners have either genitals that have something that's different about them because of a surgery or some type of procedure, and you want to share any resources, you know, I'd love to hear it. I know that trans people go through all kinds of different relationships with their genitals and whether or not to have surgery and what hormones do to them. So there's definitely a lot of people in the world that are navigating complex relationships with their genitals that may not look in the conventional way that, you know, we're all fed through porn and pictures on the internet from Tumblr and things like that, but you're definitely not alone. Thank you so much for being vulnerable and writing in with that, Lost One. I hope that that was helpful, and I hope that the documentaries are really fun. I think they're really sweet. It's something I've shared with clients of mine too that struggle with body issues, specifically around their penis. So do your best to just gently start encouraging a different conversation with yourself and also having different conversations with potential lovers. And the bottom line is this advice is true for whether or not you have a small penis or a penis that has a urethral opening in a different place, or you have a fat body, or you have scars, or it doesn't matter. If you're about to get intimate with someone and they make a negative comment about your body, that person in no way deserves to be with you at all. And I know that that's hard to do in the moment because the shame just takes over. I so get that. Like, I so get, you know, I mean, and so many of you have heard me talk about this, that as a person in a fat body, I was so terrified of getting naked with partners after I broke up with my last ex. You know, like, I really thought people would run screaming from the room when they saw my body naked, because I had just internalized so much hatred for the way that my body was different. And to take off my clothes, and I actually did have someone say something to me once that was so horrible, and it was totally devastating. And in the moment, I couldn't reply with anything other than shock, shame, silence. But afterwards, I got really angry. because if that person is going to say something like that about my body, then why in the fuck do I then want to like let them put things in me or on me or around me or blah? Like, no, totally not okay. So it may mean that you just take a little bit more time to find people that you're partnered with so that you can make sure the people that you're partnered with are awesome and totally deserve to see your super special penis. But do whatever you can to start letting go of that shame and just start reframing it and surround yourself with pictures and stories of people who have different relationships with their genitals and who have had to go through this self-acceptance, because there's so many people out there. Okay, so a couple of months ago, Dylan and I were talking about like being kids and bathrooms and schools, and I had mentioned that I had gone to a Montessori school. It was because of an article about some stupid lawmakers that were trying to like prevent kids from going into like the wrong gendered bathroom, one of these anti-trans laws. And it was in episode 92, but I had mentioned that I went to a Montessori school and that we had unisex bathrooms at this particular school. So there was urinals and toilets in this one big room, and the girls and the boys would all use it. And this was in like preschool and kindergarten. Well, somebody named Ryan wrote in and she said, "Hey guys, my name is Ryan and I'm very new to your podcast. I was listening to your 92 show and Dawn mentioned that she went to a Montessori school and talked about the unisex bathroom. Well, I went to a Montessori school as well and we had a unisex bathroom too. They had us go in groups according to our sex, but like you said, they're all about self-learning and whatever, so during off-potty times, we could use it whenever. Well, my best guy friend and I went at the same time, and we started examining each other as innocent 5-year-olds do. But a teacher walked in, and for some reason, as the girl, I was the one that actually got expelled from the school. Now I'm 21, and I look back, and I think the girl was the one that got in trouble and not the boy. And I think that that would more be the norm these days. So anyway, thanks for reading. I love the podcast. Love, Ryan." So yeah, thanks for writing in, Ryan. And that totally sucks about getting expelled. Like, if I got expelled every time one of my friends and I, when we were 5 and 6 years old, inspected each other, I would have been expelled from lots of schools. Because I can distinctly remember with several of my friends us doing the old like inspection and what's in there and what's that feel like and yours is different from mine and, you know, like girls on girls and boys and girls, and you know, it wasn't sexual at all, it was just curiosity. So I think that's really shitty that you got expelled for doing something that I think is really normal for kids. I think it would have been more appropriate to just have some conversations with the parents and, you know, like, I don't know, that just seems a little bit extreme to me. But thank you so much for writing in, because, yeah, that's just bizarre. Ugh, silly rules. We got this email, it was back in February, around Valentine's Day, actually, and I was in Canada, actually kind of doing something that has to do with this email, so I think things come full circle. So this person named Rye wrote in, and the subject line is rope play. And it says, "Hey, goddesses, I wrote to you a couple of days ago with a story, but now I have a couple of questions. Since I've been listening to your podcast, I've started looking into things I never thought I would, like rope play. I've always kind of fantasized about it. I've talked to my partner about it, and we think it would be something we would both enjoy. But how to start is my question. I live in a pretty small city, and there isn't really anything here. Like, we have a total of 4 sex shops in town and 3 are all the same chain. So anyway, my questions are, what are some good starting points for it? I know a couple of websites like The Twisted Monk and 2 Naughty Boys. Have you ladies done any rope play? If so, can I get a story? And any other information about safety or anything would be really helpful. Much love from the Midwest, Rye." We've talked about bondage a fair amount on the show, and we've had some like kinky folks, experts on to talk about, you know, like sadistic things to do with rope and things I've seen that I've experienced out at workshops. But rope bondage is definitely something that I really, really love. And it's also something that Alex is really into and he's amazing at. I think I've mentioned it on the show a couple of times. Like one morning he woke me up. I literally woke up to the rope tightening around my wrist as my arm was like pulled all the way out to the side and tied to the headboard. And as I woke up, I realized both of my ankles were already tied to the footboard of the bed. And he just like walked around the bed smiling and tied my last wrist. And then all of a sudden, all four limbs were just like as far out as they could go and tied with rope. And I was completely immobile. And it was really hot because amazing things ensued after that. And yeah, I mean, from tying anal hooks in to really recently when I was actually, when Lola was on the show a couple of weeks ago, I was just talking about how Alex had tied a magic wand into me using rope and then just sat back and drank tea while I like screamed and struggled. But there's something really delicious to me about the feel of rope on my skin. You know, of course, there's lots of different types of rope. So some rope is a little bit softer and some rope has this like really horrible bite to it that is actually also really wonderful. I have some hemp jute that is very bitey. When you wrap that rope around your skin, it just feels like right on the verge of irritatingly painful. But the reason that I like that is as other things start getting turned on and maybe as fingers are going places or mouths are going places, you can never actually forget about the rope. Like the rope is always just kind of calling your attention back and overloading your senses because it's just on that verge of like irritating, bitey pain. And it just reminds you that you're doing something kind of naughty and dirty and like, oh my God, I love it. And I also just really like really sweet, simple rope play. You know, a couple of times I've had my wrists loosely tied together over my head so that I just couldn't use my hands. It wasn't about really, you know, hurting me or making things really tight, but more about just, I want your hands out of the way so that I can see for you. A number of times I've been in situations with Alex and with other play partners where, you know, I've been blindfolded and they've done like a rope harness around my chest to kind of like make my breasts really pronounced and to have my arms behind my back so that I'm super submissive. You know, when your arms are tied behind your back and your mobility is severely restricted, you really have to rely on the other person or the other people that are present to help you do things like stand up or bend over. And they have total control. And you're also, your mindset's in a little bit more of a place of like, I really have to surrender to this person and trust them because I could be injured really easily. You know, if I slip and I can't, you know, lift myself off my face, I could suffocate. Or if I fall, like my arms can't come out to catch me. So, you know, it definitely adds this element of risk. So if you're interested in rope bondage, good starting points. Definitely the Twisted Monk and Two Naughty Boys are terrific. I would really recommend going to kinkacademy.com. They have, I think, close to 1,000 educational videos. It is a membership site, so you pay for a monthly subscription. And I want to say it's really affordable. I think it's like $19 a month or something like that. But they have all kinds of rope bondage videos, how-to, from lots of different experts. Yeah, it's more than 1,400 videos. And they have everything. I mean, like caning and dragon tails and edge play and puppy play and brat play and all kinds of stuff. Kink Academy has amazing videos on pretty much anything kinky or sexual that you can think of. Many of them are non-explicit, although there are some explicit videos on there. But it's just a really fun site for learning from experts that might not ever come to your city, which I think is a really great thing specifically for you, Rye, because you live in a city that maybe sex educators aren't like circling through on their tours very often. So Kink Academy, Two Naughty Boys. If you ever have the opportunity to go to a live event where you can actually learn from other people, I can tell you, I'm not going to share with the listeners what your city is, but if you go into FetLife and look up your city, I think your city is big enough that there's definitely going to be some rope enthusiasts and kink enthusiasts having munches and, you know, like little learning play parties and things like that. So go into FetLife.com and take a look and see what's going on in your city, because there's millions and millions of people on FetLife. So I'm sure you can find some people who are into rope play already and can teach you some of the basics. Really, when it comes to rope, learning just a couple of basic ties and knots is a fantastic way to have endless options. You know, if you just know a couple of ties, then you can bind wrists and ankles and wrist two things and ankles two things, or wrists two ankles, or toys to bodies, or, you know, hands overhead and in all kinds of interesting locations. You can tie someone to a tree or to a chair, or, you know, I mean, the options are endless, and really it's just all about your imagination. And then, of course, as you get more experienced, you can do things like suspending people in the air and doing, you know, trickier things that I think often are very showy. And I know a lot of people really enjoy being suspended by rope, but of course that increases your risk. And depending on certain body types and sizes, that might not be something that's comfortable or safe for you. Like for me, I'm not sure I would do rope suspension unless it was really thick, soft rope with many, 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 many points across my body, just because I'm bigger. You know, I'm not 120 pounds, so it's not easy for me to fly. But I think those are really good starting points. And then as far as safety goes, start small. You know, it's really tempting, especially when you're on FetLife or Tumblr and you see some of the things people do with rope, to want to just do like all the things all at once. But start really basic. Start with some wrist ties with your wrists in front of your body so that you get a feel for, you know, what it's like to have rope on you and the person that's doing the tying, or for you to do the tying and the person that's doing the tying, to just get really comfortable with it. You want to make sure that you're not losing circulation. So it's really important to make sure you can kind of run a finger around the ropes and there's enough room that there can be a little bit of movement. You don't want anything turning blue or going numb. You want to make sure that you still have full mobility. And the thing is, a rope top only knows as much as you tell them. So as a rope bottom, you must. It's the responsibility truly does fall on you in so many ways. You have to speak up. If anything is starting to go numb or be tingly, or you're noticing like the color is changing, and of course that's something the rope top can notice as well. If something's uncomfortable in a painful way, like if you feel like your shoulder's about to go out of a joint, you're having trouble breathing, those kinds of things. So one of the things that you want to do is, one, make sure that the person that's tying you is experienced enough that they know how to untie very quickly and how to also adjust. And then you also want to make sure that you have some safety shears. So you can find those online, you know, at any sex positive toy store. For the most part, they have that nice blunted edge, the way that medical professionals would use, so that it doesn't stab you, you know, if you're running it along skin, but you can get out of something very quickly. If you do have something distressing happening, either you panic or your body is in pain or something has gone wrong, you've fallen, being able to cut your way out of the tie very quickly, you want to just make sure you have those scissors nearby and accessible so that you're not hunting for them. You know, pull them out with the rope and set them by the bed. But other than that, you know, for just like basic rope play, you don't even really have to know knots. You know, I mean, if you just even want to like wrap the rope around you, kind of like mummification style, with your arms by your side, or, you know, kind of put your wrists together and tie it around a couple of times and do like a little bow. I mean, you don't have to know anything super fancy. You just have to be kind of conscious of what type of a scene you're trying to create, what kind of energy you want, and make sure that you're just kind of covering the safety basics. But definitely check out Kink Academy. And then, yeah, Two Naughty Boys have some really great things. So I'll have links to all of that up on Sex Gets Real for anyone who's interested. Do the rope play, because it's awesome and I love it. And the more that we do it, the more I want to do. And I'm going to be in Iceland in a couple of weeks, and I fully intend on getting tied to some rock outcrop in the middle of nowhere or something. I would say I would want to get tied to a tree, but there are no trees in Iceland, so maybe the car. But there will definitely be something getting tied to something else. And yeah, thanks for writing in, Rye. Sorry it took so long to get to you. And also, if since you wrote in, you've tried some rope stuff, please write in and tell us stories, because all of us would super love to hear that. So we got this. This story came in not too long ago from someone named Virgin Mary, and the subject line made me happy, and it says, "Bad decisions make great stories." So here's the story. "Hey Dawn, let me start off by saying I absolutely love the podcast and all the crazy stories you share. I finally have one and I can't wait to tell it. Let me start off by saying that I am a virgin in a lot of ways. I've dated more women than men, but I haven't done much sexually with either. It's not for any special reason. I'm just too shy to approach strangers, and I haven't met anyone I really wanted to give it up to. Recently, I've been getting more and more frustrated and looking for a one-and-done kind of thing, and I almost found it this past weekend. I ended up meeting some guys while out with a friend, and lots of crazy ensued. I wound up in a hotel room with one of them giving my first blowjob, which then turned into 69. It was kind of sucky until he stuck a finger in my ass. It was a good sneak. After that, there was no way I could focus on him, but there was no need for focus because he had way too much to drink, and sadly, no one orgasmed. Instead, he passed out and hogged the bed. It was a crazy night, but one for the books. So thanks so much for reading, and thanks for the podcast. Wishing you much love, sex, and happiness." And in parentheses, it said, "and Dylan." So I'll pass that along. A little less Virgin Mary. Yay. Yay for fun adventures and for good stories. You know, I mean, I feel like that's kind of half the fun of getting to be adventurous and trying new things. And yeah, it's just like sometimes it super sucks and sometimes nothing goes right and it's not really what you thought it was going to be. But then in the end, you know more about yourself or what you don't want. And you have this like wonderful story that you can share with your friends or share with people down the road. And, you know, I think that's such a wonderful way to just reframe something that wasn't exactly ideal. But at the same time, like, yay for just being open to trying new things and yeah, and experimenting. First blowjob, first 69. Look at that. That's huge. Okay, so someone wrote in asking about kinky conferences, and this actually came in while I was at a kinky conference called Lupercalia up in Canada. So Andy wrote in and it says, "Hey Dawn, I just got into the Sex Gets Real podcast and I am in love. Thank you and Dylan for being informative and real. How can I find kink conferences in my area? After hearing you talk about the ones you've attended, I want to go. Andy." Okay, anything kink related, one of the first places you're probably going to want to go is FetLife.com. Now, I've talked many times on the podcast about my very mixed feelings about FetLife. You know, it's got millions of people on this site that is entirely dedicated to, you know, various forms of kink and alternative sexualities and alternative expressions of self when it comes to gender and relationships and all that kind of stuff. There is a very high percentage of awful people on FetLife. you know, from MRAs, men's rights activists, and, you know, in quotes, alpha males and pickup artists, to, you know, people that we like to call domly doms, who are people who have almost no experience, but just really want to be super bossy and or abusive and call themselves dominants. And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a message on FET from someone I did not know that was like, submit to me, woman, and send me your panties, is like their opening message. And of course, all you do is laugh. But there are some really great resources and great people on FetLife. And I think one of the most powerful things about FetLife is their just huge list of events that are constantly going on. And you can filter by location. So if you are in or near a fairly large city somewhere in the world, you can probably find events that are going on near you. Now, it might not be a conference, but even if it's a meetup or a munch or, you know, some type of class, I think it can be really fun to go out and learn new things and meet new people. There are a couple of resources as far as big BDSM events. So the first is, I found this list of national BDSM events on a website called submissiveguide.com. I'll have the link at sexgetsreal.com. And they have a list of all kinds of kinky events all around the United States and Canada, with one or two listed in Europe. So from Lubricalia, which I was just at in February, to Camp Crucible, which happens in Maryland, Dark Odyssey, which I've been to a couple of times and talked about on the podcast. You can also do Mid-Atlantic Leather, which I've been to several times with Dylan. And then, you know, there's ones in Las Vegas and LA and all kinds of stuff. Kink Fest and Kinky College just happened in Chicago. So I'll have a link to this list of BDSM events. And there is another page that I know, the BDSMeventspage.com. It's kind of like spammy looking, but it does have a really huge list of everything that's going on for the year. I think that it's pretty much just in the US. There's a couple of Canadian events listed as well, but it's huge. There's tons, and it's updated all the way through January, February of 2017. So I'll include that as well. Just go to sexgetsreal.com for this episode, and in the notes, the show notes, that's down at the bottom of each episode listing, I will have links to these. So yeah, go to FetLife for sure and just start looking to see what's in your city. And then I'll have these two pages. Most of the things that are on these two pages are things that happen annually. So like Dark Odyssey Winterfire, it happens every single, like January, February. It's always Valentine's weekend. So every February, same with Lupercalia, same with Camp Crucible. It's always in the summer up in Maryland. There's like Mid-Atlantic Leather has been happening every year for decades, literally. It'll just give you some options on kind of the bigger scale and then some local options that are on the smaller scale. So hopefully that's really helpful. And thank you so much for writing in, Andy. I super appreciate it. And of course, if anybody goes to a kinky conference and you want to share, or if you want to ask questions about something that happened at it, please write in, because we love that kind of stuff. We got one last one for this episode. So a listener wrote in and it just says, full disclosure, I paid for a four-hand therapeutic massage and asked about prostate massage for men over 50. And the male and female massage therapists said that they could include it in the session. The female was massaging my chest and shoulders while the male worked the prostate. I think it may have been planned, but the female's breast was right over my mouth as I was getting close, and I had this explosive orgasm, so I started sucking on her nipple. I think it was done to make the session end on time, but the event sickens my wife, and I feel like I unintentionally cheated. I'm 53, and it seemed like a good idea at the time, but now my relationship is suffering. How do we get over this? Yeah. Well, I actually did write back to this person. I'm not going to share their name because it didn't say that it was okay to. But We've talked about cheating on this show a lot, and we're actually going to talk a little bit more about it, Victoria and I, when we record in a couple of days. So you'll hear even more about like open relationships and cheating and boundaries and, you know, all that kind of stuff in our chat in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, the thing is that every person defines cheating differently and or has a different understanding of what monogamy means and fidelity. And the problem is, and I'll, you know, almost every therapist that I've ever talked to, including Gina Senarighi, who we had on the show, and a couple of people I interviewed with the summit, is people get into so much trouble by not talking about what these words mean to them when they're in relationship with someone. So what does cheating mean to you? And what does monogamy mean to you? Or what does an open relationship mean to you? Because one person's version of open relationship may mean making out with other people. And making out may mean just like mouths and hands above the belt. So you have to really define these terms. If you don't have these conversations, then what happens is people probably are going to end up getting hurt because mistakes are going to get made. And then one person's going to feel like they can't trust the other one, like there was this big trust violation. And while it may have been unintentional, what it comes down to is when trust is gone, it's really hard to have a solid connection with someone. So in this particular case, I think what it comes down to is that because this person never had an actual conversation with his wife about receiving a prostate massage from these people when he went to get his massage, then it sounds like she feels like it was a violation of trust. Now, regrettable incidents like this are things that you can absolutely overcome. Absolutely. But what it really takes is a lot of talking and a lot of time in rebuilding the trust. And I think one of the best things you can do is work with either a sex positive therapist or a coach who can kind of help you start rebuilding that trust and having these conversations. I just finished level one of the Gottman Institute's certification program for marriage therapy and couples counseling. And, you know, one of the things they talk about is based on their research that when there's been some type of regrettable incident, you know, and that doesn't have to be cheating, it can be all kinds of different things. But when there's been a regrettable incident, the person that really feels hurt by that incident, until they've had a chance to truly process that incident, to ask questions about why and what it meant and why it happened and how we got here, and to just kind of exhaust their list of questions, and for the other person to hold space for that pain and that discomfort, it's very hard for people to move past it. So that's something else that I'll just share, is because this happened, you know, to you, listener, that wrote in, one of the things that's probably going to need to happen is giving her the opportunity. And of course, it should never be abusive. So it shouldn't be name calling or criticizing or, you know, saying things that are really unfair, but allowing for those questions, allowing for that hurt to exist and to recognize that it's valid that she feels that way so that you're not getting defensive. That is how you can really put things to rest, fully process a regrettable incident, and start rebuilding and moving forward. And it can be an even stronger, more connected relationship after something like this if the people involved are really willing to show up and do the work. But, you know, when someone feels betrayed, it can feel like it's taking 10 times longer to rebuild that trust than when you initially kind of met this person and built that trust up. You know, for the person that violated the trust, it can feel like, God, aren't you over this yet? Can't you just move past this? And for the person that's struggling with trust, it can feel like, why are you trying to rush me? This was so devastating, and I need lots of evidence that shows I can trust you again. But trust is one of the fundamental building blocks for a healthy relationship. So as long as both of you are really willing to be patient with each other, allow uncomfortable feelings, allow uncomfortable conversations, and really dig into If you're interested in receiving prostate massage from a professional, talking about why you want that, why it's important to you, what it means to you, what it means to your relationship, and allowing her to have lots of questions and kind of process it that way, it can become something that really connects the two of you in the end. It doesn't have to be something that totally, utterly devastates the relationship and, you know, obliterates it. But there is going to be just some time in here where it's really uncomfortable. And it's, you know, really fair for you to be frustrated with that and for you to feel like it wasn't a big deal. Those are your feelings. Making sure you hold space, though, for her feelings is really important, too. Yeah, just working with a therapist or a sex coach to kind of overcome this can be really important. I would also recommend checking out Esther Perel's book, Mating in Captivity. Reading any of the books by John Gottman, I think, can also be a really great start. And just starting to find ways to reconnect. So kind of going back to a place where you're courting each other, getting to know each other a little bit, you're rebuilding trust, you're allowing for that exchange to happen. I think that could be a really powerful way to connect after something like this. And I'm sorry that this happened. I know that it must be really frustrating for you and also a little disorienting. And also, I think that it's really important to honor your wife's pain and that she feels like something happened that she really didn't consent to. You know, I think that's one of the hardest things is usually when we're in relationship with someone, we feel like we're the two of us in this and we get to create something together. So when one person does something and the other feels like, I never had a chance to say how I feel about that. I never had a chance to say, well, this is where I stand. So now can we both say, here's where we are and start trying to find a way to build that connection and build a bridge and find a way through together? You know, it can be really scary. But I definitely appreciate the courage that it took to write in and to share that. I'm sure there are lots of people listening who have been on, you know, one or both sides of a similar situation. And I think the good news is there's definitely a way through. And the way through can actually yield an even stronger connection and a stronger relationship. But only if both of you are really willing to show up and feel kind of yucky for a while and work through it, you know, and it's going to take time. If anybody has any thoughts or questions around that, please feel free to write in. And of course, if you have any questions about like anything sex related, I have some amazing guests lined up over the next couple of weeks. Not only do I have Victoria Rosa, who is an open relationship coach, and she's doing a whole bunch of stuff around conscious relationships, but I have Elle Chase lined up, who's the Lady Cheeky, who has the number one voted porn site for women. Oh my God, I use that site every day because Alex and I send each other links. So I'm having Elle Chase on soon. I'm working on getting Jessica Drake. I'm interviewing Nadine Thornhill next week. We're going to be talking all about like kids and sex and parenting and just like the realities of all of that and how messy it can be. I'm having someone on that specializes all about like depression and orgasm. And I'm having August McLaughlin on soon, who is the host of Girl Boner Radio. And she's a phenomenal. We're going to talk all about like body acceptance and oh my gosh. So there's like some super awesome people coming up. And if you have any questions about like fat bodies or porn or depression or orgasms or body acceptance or being a parent, like please write in because some of these conversations are going to be phenomenal. So of course you can go to sexgetsreal.com. There's a contact form there. You can either leave your information and I try to reply to as many as I can, or you can do it anonymously if you want to kind of protect your identity. You can also go there to get all of the show notes from each episode. And of course, if you're interested in checking out my coaching. I have a couple of spots open and I would love to hear from you. You don't have to decide right away. I do consultation calls with people who are considering it, but you can go to dawnserra.com to check out the Work With Me page where I outline the types of coaching that I do. And I just finished my level one certification with the Gottman Institute. So I have all kinds of new tools for helping people build intimacy and connection. But thank you so much for listening. This was totally unexpected because of the technology issues that I had with Victoria's interview. But I will be back next week with an interview and some super saucy, yummy content. So thank you so much for listening. This is Dawn Serra with Sex Gets Real. I will talk to you next week. Bye.